Behold!
It's the single greatest thing on earth.
Are you listening to me?
Against all odds and defying all logic.
From the Nashville Sports Radio Media Complex, it's the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel and by Goggin Cold Hall, the coldest team in town. Call now at 844-5600. Download the WNSR app and take us with you.
It's just a stupid click of a button that takes 2 seconds.
It's patriotic. It's perfect.
Hold your nose because the bull's about to fly.
Now, here's Greg Vogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
Good Tuesday morning to you. How are you doing? Hope it's a good start for a good day. Crazy Charlie, John Burton, Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel and Goggin Cold Hall. Hello, fellows.
Morning.
How you doing, man?
A little shaken up, man. I was just telling you guys right before we went on the air, I almost missed the open because driving in I-40 East right at the Charlotte Pike exit, really bad accident. Truck turned over.
Wow.
A bunch of ambulances there, and so we certainly hope for the best there that no one is seriously injured or worse. But so, yeah, that shook me up a little bit this morning, but I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Coming up at 10 o'clock this morning, thereabouts, we're going to be carrying the TSU press conference. The press release said it is a major athletic department announcement.
I wonder what it could be.
Dun, dun, dun! George Plaster's over there, and after it's all over, he was going to give us his thoughts. We'll try to hook up with Eddie, but, I mean, he's been pulled in 14 different directions today, so that'll all work itself out sooner or later. But, of course, the press conference, not a big secret what's going to happen there and everything that's going to come out following with all the people that he'll be. You know, it'll be interesting to see as he puts his staff together. You know,
yeah.
Who it's going to be.
Yeah, we're hearing Hugh Jackson possibly as the offensive coordinator.
I talked to C-Town yesterday,
yeah,
and he said Eddie should run as
C-Town, relax, dude.
Run as fast as you can.
No, I'm going to address that right now. I'm going to address C-Town, I hope you're listening. Hugh Jackson was set up to fail with the Cleveland Browns. They brought him in as the head coach and said, we're going to win. As soon as he got there, they tanked everything, and they set him up to fail. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Do you want to hear it?
I don't want to hear
it. Okay, I just want to make sure you got that straight. Anyway.
But, I'm not having that this morning.
So with that, we'll have the press conference at the top of the hour from TSU, talk all about that, and get your thoughts afterward. I know Deion Sanders has chimed in,
yep,
and called it phenomenal,
mm-hmm,
in his words, as obviously at Jackson State.
Yeah, they're talking about, hey, you know, let's change the game in HBCU football. So I talked about it yesterday. You know, I think we're going to see this happen a lot with these programs, try to get these big names in, you know, and it's going to help recruiting, it's going to help profiles, all that. So I think it's, like I said, I spoke to Rod Reed for a little bit yesterday, very briefly.
Good.
Yeah, we had a nice little talk, you know, just, you know, and kind of like when you had your conversation with him, he's in good spirits. He understands everything. He had a good 11-year run, so, you know, he'll be fine. He's looking forward, as you said, to kind of watching his son, Marcel, who's doing great things at NBA in both football and basketball. So, so now that that's kind of, you know, where it is, that's compartmentalized. I'm excited for Eddie George, man, aren't you? I'm just really excited that he gets this opportunity. It's great, obviously, for Tennessee State. It's great for the football program. And it's great for this city that still loves this guy, you know, long after he's retired from the Tennessee Titans. So I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see as his staff is put together, just who he brings in, because he's going to have to bring some people who know how the college game,
mm-hmm,
to use your term, how the sausage is made.
Yes, sir.
In the college game, especially recruiting. He's going to have to go through the recruiting process. He has to be certified,
mm-hmm,
by the, as all coaches do, mm-hmm, to be able to recruit. You have, there's an NCAA's annual certification for that,
mm-hmm,
so that will be that. So, yeah, press conference, we will carry it at around 10 o'clock this morning and then get some thoughts from Plaster after he's over there at the thing. Vanderbilt women, speaking of coaches,
this is huge.
Yeah, they hire Shay Raff. She is 43 years old, 14 years the assistant on Gino Auriemma's staff at UConn, an All-American guard there. She's been part of 13 Final Fours. That news conference will be tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock to announce that hire. So, you know, it's common things these days. Everybody's, and I'm going to have some comments after this press conference about some people who are critical of TSU, quote, leaking the Eddie George thing. Here you have right now a press conference for tomorrow afternoon, and we already know who's it's going to be. That is common business these days, and you don't hold on to things like that anymore. And so anyway,
that being said, Shay Ralph's a major hire. She's got, you know, she was a terrific player at UConn. You remember. And you're right.
All-American,
she coached with Gino forever, and this is a great opportunity for her, and I think it comes at the right time, and she's got that cachet, that UConn women's basketball kind of, stamp of approval with her. We all know how successful that program's been, all the national championships they won, and, I think this is the right time for her to come to a program like Vanderbilt, and it's going to give the program credibility, kind of much like, what's going on at Tennessee State with Eddie George. So this is a major hire for Vanderbilt women's basketball.
Yeah, I really think so. So, so that'll be announced tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Nashville SC opening the season. That snuck up on me I just can't believe that we're, this coming weekend is like the third week of April. I mean, when you say Saturday's what, April 19th?
Yeah.
Or what, 18th? Whatever, I'm thinking that's 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Before you know it, it'll be May. Before you know it, it'll be June. Before you know it, we'll be halfway done with the year. You know?
Yeah. But so anyway.
Because I remember we were talking after the show, and I said, we're just kind of looking ahead on the week of what's coming up. I said, Nashville SC's opener is Saturday. You were like, it is?
Really?
And he was like, they're on the road, right? I said, no they're playing FC Cincinnati at Nissan Stadium.
April 19th, and I said, well, that's 2 weeks away, isn't it?
The draft is right around the corner, too. Like I said, we haven't got the mocks out yet.
We'll get our mocks. My mocks will be size 10 and a half. Nashville SC coach Gary Smith, an extension through 2023. Of course, he was hired by this organization back when it was in the USL in 2018, hired as the MLS coach a year later, 2019. The team goes 11-8-8 and has success. Eastern Conference Finals this coming Saturday. It's FC Cincinnati, by the way, 7:30 at Nissan Stadium. Of course, he coached at Colorado for 4 years.
Won an MLS Cup there, didn't he?
Yes, in 2010. Yeah. Yep. Get this. He's the only Englishman to ever win to win an MLS Cup.
How about that?
Well,
hopefully he can bring one here to Nashville. No, he's been great for the club. He's been a great face of the club. I'm excited about, I wouldn't say I was excited about it. I don't know why I said that, but it's a natural progression for them to keep him around after the job he did last year. And so, we look forward to the MLS season coming back to Nashville.
Charlie, I know you
it's
went to
be a busy summer.
You went
man.
To the very first one. Are you going Saturday?
Probably not. Yeah. I haven't gone to any public events, nor do I intend to go to any public events until the time is more appropriate for me to do so.
I totally agree with that.
makes sense.
But the one you can go to is the Vandy spring game. They're going to let people in.
Yep.
This coming Saturday, 10:30, gates open. It's free. It's first come, first serve up to a point. They're going to be giving away the first 1,500 people free Vanderbilt logoed mask to wear. So they're going to have concessions. And I like this line in the press release. With food and alcohol.
food and alcohol.
So you know what? I may. It's free. You get in. You certainly can socially distance in that 40,000 seat stadium. I don't know. After I get off the air at 10 Saturday morning, I may run over there. We'll catch the spring game. Just sit up in the stands by myself and Probably not.
With all your friends?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just kidding.
NHL trade deadline yesterday. Predators trade for defenseman Eric Gudbronwen, right?
What did you just say?
I can't even read my... Gudbranson. Gudbranson. Eric Gudbranson. Out of Ottawa.
Yes.
Gudbranson. Yeah, I couldn't even read my
yeah,
writing.
We've already spent more time on it than we need to.
For defensive prospect Brandon Fortunato, 2023 seventh-round pick. So, in other words, David Poile stands pat.
Yeah, as we told you to expect, and it looks like we're possibly getting another forward back in the lineup today, possibly Richardson off of injured reserve, because it looks like Tanner Jeannette is not going to get to skate tonight. At least that's the early indications. We'll find out a little bit later today once we get through the morning skates. But yeah, expected it to be a quiet day yesterday for the Nashville Predators, and it was. That's a minor deal right there. That helps bolster the role that Olivier was playing in case Olivier's out any longer. And frankly, this is just another piece. Not expecting him to be in the lineup really on any type of regular basis. He's a very physical player. If you go to hockeyfights.com, then you'll find more highlights of him there than you will anywhere else. So for the Nashville Predators, they bring in a little bit of toughness, a little bit more sandpaper, but overall they remain exactly where they were. Poile's comments yesterday, the general manager the Nashville Predators was very simple. Don't worry about the expansion draft and Matthias Ekholm at this point. I'll handle that. I know what I'm doing. Okay. 39 years of being a GM in the NHL, and you don't have a championship yet, so we'll continue to let you do your thing for the 40th season. Nashville Predators have an opportunity to go on a run, fellas. They do start the day. There was some action in the Central Division last night. Chicago Blackhawks did pick up 2 points, but they're still 2 points behind the Nashville Predators. They played the same amount of games on the season. It was Chicago beating Columbus last night in overtime 4-3. Detroit picks up a win over Carolina. That makes tonight's game very spicy for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Because listen, fellas, I know it'd be easy to say Tampa Bay is 6-1 against the Predators. Vasilevsky's gone 5-0 against the Predators. They can take this night off. They can relax. They might be facing this team in a best of seven here in a couple of weeks. You don't want to get anything going, give the Predators any momentum in the series. But Tampa Bay's not only playing for the Central Division title, they're also playing for the number one overall seed in the NHL and the President's Trophy. And with a win tonight, they would surpass the Carolina Hurricanes to take over first place in the Central Division. So a lot on the line for Tampa, a lot on the line for Nashville. These storylines will continue to weave for the Preds. Only 3 wins against the top 3 teams in the Central and 20 of their 23 wins coming against the teams below them in the standings. Fellas, with 13 games to go in the season, they'll have to continue fending off the Chase Pack, which they've been able to do quite well, but they're going to have to find a way. It's not just Tampa Bay tonight, but it's Carolina the next 2 games, and then Chicago for 3. I have a feeling that 3-game set going to be hugely impactive. But for the Nashville Predators, find a way to take care of Tampa tonight. Find a way to do something, because at the end of the day, if you have to face this team in a 7-game series, you got to get some momentum. You got to get something going in the right direction. On Saturday night, it was a 3-0 shutout in favor of Tampa Bay. And again, Vasilevsky's 5-0 against this team on the season with 1 shutout, and he stopped 148 of 157. Fellas, that guy is absolutely incredible. Probably well on his way to another Vezina trophy.
Did I mention I'll be in the building tonight?
I think you have.
About a dozen times.
Yeah,
now.
That's okay.
Well, and since you're going to be in the building, what coverage will you be doing for Nashville Sports Radio since you're going to continue bringing up how you're going to be there?
Hey, listen, you know, give me a Miraz or one of those mini recorders.
We'll just get you pen and paper and get you one of those little press hats.
Yeah, I'll wear like a faded gray sport coat and a fedora.
Anything? I know Tampa Bay, got Savard, a movement there. Is that just a supplement there, too? I know there was a 3-way deal with them. Columbus got some draft picks. And Detroit, I think, is picking up half of Savard's salary. But they sort of stayed pat, too, didn't they?
For the most part, listen, it was a very boring trade deadline day. The big trade yesterday was Taylor Hall going to the Bruins, but it wasn't really that big a deal because he pretty much handpicked the team he wanted to go to with his no trade clause. Other than that, Mantha being traded from Detroit for a wealth coming back from the Washington Capitals. Every couple of years, the Washington Capitals make a deal that just raises an eyebrow, and I don't understand. I know they're trying to go all in. They're trying to win a Stanley Cup with Peter Laviolette as their head coach, but they gave up 4 assets yesterday for one of Detroit's wingers who, I mean, okay, he's not a bad player, but I didn't understand the trade right there. Tampa just bolstered their roster just a little bit. Same thing as Florida. Everybody kind of made a minor move here, minor move there. The trade deadline doesn't have the steam that it used to. Now trades are more readily made near the draft because teams aren't playing hockey around the draft in the summertime. So teams are, and general managers are more willing to make deals then. But Tampa Bay, listen, they've got a great roster. They're the defending champions. They're 28-11-2 on the season. and they're a dominant team on home ice. They've got someone in almost every major individual awards category that's going to be a finalist or the winner this year. They're more than likely going to be the President's Trophy winner. So this Tampa Bay Lightning team didn't need to go out yesterday and do a whole lot. They added toughness last year before the cup run. That's one of the reasons they finally got over the hump and won them that Stanley Cup. Predators got to find a way tonight. Going 1-7 against this team throughout the regular season series does not instill a lot of confidence in being able to beat them 4 out of 7 potential times in a best-of-7 first-round series. Fellas, that 2-3 matchup, I continue to say it. Whoever ends up in that matchup, there is going to be a Stanley Cup final contender losing in the first round. If it's between Carolina and Florida, there is definitely going to be a significant team losing in that one. Tampa Bay going to do everything they can to win the division. That's why I anticipate they'll put Vasilevsky back in net tonight, let him go for his 6th win against the Predators this season. We'll see who's back in the lineup here in just a little bit, but getting the early indications that it might be Richardson coming back in on the 4th line, just based on the fact that we've already gotten kind of word that Janot is not going to skate tonight.
Blackhawks 4-3 in overtime last night. They're not going away, are they? They pull within 2 with the win at Columbus last night. 47 for the Preds, 45 points for the Blackhawks. I was looking at, though, the overall. Nashville has 23-19-1. Chicago 28-5. So is the head-to-head tiebreaker the number of overall wins in the conference? I mean, in the division, obviously, that's all they're playing, division. Is that after head-to-head?
Well, the Predators have 3 more regulation wins than Chicago, and they have 5 head-to-head wins. The Predators hold every single tiebreaker that there is right now. And let's remember, there's a 3-game series coming up starting on next Monday. That's going to be versus Chicago here at Bridgestone Arena, and then 2 in a row in Chicago after that. That'll close out the regular season series. Preds are 5-0 against the Blackhawks. All they got to do is maintain their business and handle that there. 4-3 against Dallas with 1 more game against them. 5-1 against Columbus with 2 more games against the Jackets, and they're done with the Red Wings. They finish that regular season series off at 6-2. All the Predators have to do is take care of the business and the teams below them. Yes, it's going to be very difficult facing off against Carolina 4 times, Florida twice, and of course Tampa Bay 1 more time, but you have those 3 games versus Chicago, the team directly below you in the standings. And fellas, I've mentioned it yesterday, this Dallas Stars team, the reason that they are 6 points behind the Predators in the standings, 11 overtime losses. That means they've had 11 opportunities to go for that extra point, and they have failed 11 times. Though they have 3 games in hand, that's why they are 6 points back and chasing the Blackhawks and ultimately the Predators for that playoff spot. The way you handle your business in overtime, that's why people should be more conscious when they're bagging on Ryan Johansson, even if the only thing you think he is good at is the penalty shot or the shootout, and he's getting you those extra points throughout the season. Perhaps you ought to consider that in the end, and the calculation will be a separation of just a couple of points. Ryan Johansson's loops and swoops, his slow Joe move, whatever it is that he's doing out there, if he's being successful, if the Predators get in the playoffs by just 2 or 3 points, it'll be because of Ryan Johansson's performances in the shootouts this season.
Predneck Nation?
Oh, yeah, it's there somewhere.
No filler, no fluff, no company line.
I guess that's what somebody says.
Yeah, go get it. All of our social media platforms, check it out. It's there, but it's also there for to just go back and revisit.
Hey, straighten up. Mr. Johnson's here. Straighten up, everybody. Do your live read the right way.
All right. Here we go. TN Painting RSC is on the air saluting the brave men and women of our U.S. military. This proud salute is brought to you by TN Painting RSC, local number one trusted contractor for all your painting needs from interior, exterior, residential, commercial. They do it all. Call the pros today. 615-475-3121. 615-475-3121. That's TN Painting RSC, saluting our troops and first responders, the people who care. Other stuff to get to, including your phone calls right after the break, 615-844-5600.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is, and I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt, and Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscopes. Microscope Technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, JodyJonesDDS.com.
What can help you take advantage of today's low mortgage rates and save money? Rocket can. You could save hundreds of dollars every month by refinancing with Rocket Mortgage at today's near historic low rates. If your current rate is over 4%, you could lower your payment by over $150 a month, saving thousands in interest every year. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Savings are based on quick and loans, internal data. Points and fees may apply. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Mostly cloudy for today, high 75. Tonight, cloudy skies, lows near 50. Wednesday, cloudy, high 67. Sunny on Thursday, highs near 65. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio
Crazy Charlie, John Burton, Greg Pogue, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, Gog and Cold Hall. You were coming in, you were giving the traffic report on what, I-40 East?
I-40 East, right at the Charlotte Pike exit.
Right.
There was a pretty bad accident.
So, yeah,
any news on that?
No, but our buddy Troy texted me and said, I wish John would have told me about the wreck before I got in the middle of the traffic.
Sorry.
What we need to do, though, is...
Well, just lay out and listen to the Greg Pogue and John Burton show.
No, but this was before. We need to just go ahead and make you a roving traffic reporter on the way in. Get you a little headset, microphone, or you could act like you're in a helicopter. What's your helicopter's name?
Sky 5. High above the city here.
Yeah. See, your pecs are too
You're critiquing tight. My pecs?
They're too. You got to have a little looseness for that sound.
Okay.
See, you could barely hear that. Here's mine.
Yeah.
615-844.
Or I could solve everybody's problems very easily and say you could just listen to Commander Chuck's live traffic reports during each and every break during the Bill King show between 6 and 9 a.m. Commander Chuck actually mentioned the wreck on I-40 a number of times. If any of the parties that are involved in this conversation had been listening to Commander Chuck's traffic reports live here on Nashville Sports Radio, they would have been aware.
Thank you. Yeah, Troy. Yeah, John. So, anyway, other things going on last night. Steph Curry.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, he's back, right? 53 points, and he becomes the all-time Golden State Warriors scorer, surpassing?
The Big Dipper, Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain. A lot of people think, you know, they remember late in his career that when he played for the Lakers, obviously later on in his career, and he also played in Philly.
Played with the Harlem Globetrotters, didn't he?
Later on, yeah. Wilt scored 17,783 points as a Warrior, and so Steph Curry's 53 last night surpassed that, and he is now the all-time leading scorer.
You know, when you look back at his career, I mean, he's really the guy that changed not only the NBA, but basketball, you know, because we remember in the 80s and 90s, right, you had to have a good big man. You pound the ball into the low post, and you wait for the double team. You kick out to a shooter. Now, Steph Curry has brought in a whole new generation of guys that can just let it go from anywhere at any time. And some of the shots he was making last night are just ridiculous. I mean, some of his antics kind of drive me crazy, but when you make a very tough sport like NBA basketball look easy as he does, you know he's a great player. So, you know, that is a big milestone for Steph Curry.
Yep. So, and when Wilt played, there weren't a lot of contemporaries. Bill Russell, obviously. Russell, Wilt Chamberlain. Walt Bellamy was around, mm-hmm. and a few others, but he just had his way. He just muscled everybody out of there.
Oh, they had to change so many things because of him. They had to widen the lane. Him and George Mikan, really. You know, they had to widen the lane. They had to have the 3 second rule, all that kind of stuff, just because he was so dominant. And, you know, it is funny because, you know, he had all the points, but Russ had all the championships, right?
Yeah, I think, did Wilt win one with the Lakers?
He won two. I think he won one with Philly and one with the Lakers.
Yeah.
So he won two championships, but Bill won, what, 11?
And part of those is the player coach, the latter part. So those, of course, Red Auerbach, but he later became the player coach and won some there as well. So where Julian Edelman failed a physical, 34, be 35 soon, is retiring after 12 years, the number 232nd pick in the 2009 draft, 670 career catches. He is second all-time for the New England Patriots. Here's your quiz. Who's first?
All right, ask me that again. I'm sorry.
He is retiring as the number two all-time Patriots receiver in number of receptions, 670. That's 12 behind the all-time leader.
I'm going to say Stanley Morgan.
That's a good guess. Wes Welker.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, he was a quarterback. He was a quarterback at Kent State,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a trending topic. I always see these trending topics on Twitter at night. I'll just look over there and see what's, you know, in case I miss something that we need to talk about the next morning. And Hines Ward was trending last night. They were comparing his numbers to Julian Edelman's numbers.
Uh-huh.
And not even close. Not even close. Hines Ward had 1,000 catches. You know, many more yards.
Yeah, you're a big Hines Ward guy.
Well, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, quite frankly.
I don't.
Well, so he is on the ballot to get there, and so we'll see. Why don't do you? Is there a reason you don't like Hines Ward of his game, or is there something more?
I just felt like he was a singles hitter. I don't feel like he was a guy that stretched the field or really changed the game. He was a really good receiver, very tough, very physical, but
maybe the best blocking receiver ever.
Yeah, but I pay my receivers to catch the ball and score touchdowns,
and he did. He did. He had 1,000 catches, which usually puts you in the Hall of Fame.
Well, 1,000 catches. What's his career? Per reception average.
Well, but he's asked to. He did what he was asked to do. Correct.
I understand it. In my opinion, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's a really good player. I think
he did, he was the best in the game at that time.
That's fine. But you know what? Jerry Rice couldn't block me, you, or Charlie. And
no,
I would
I'm
take
talking
him
about
over
the
Hines
entire.
Ward
I'm talking. Well, I'm.
You know, Randy Moss was not a blocker.
I'm not comparing the blocking or those. Those two are in, of course. I mean, that's not even the comparison I was trying to make. He was productive. I'm going to look up his numbers. You'd be surprised how productive he was.
I covered him basically his entire career. Mm-hmm. I know what he did, Greg.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm well aware of what he did. I just, in my mind, in my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
I think those numbers.
If
usually
you do, that's
him.
Great.
I think that those numbers usually are Hall of Fame worthy. That's
well,
my point.
I mean, you know, Craig Biggio, you know, hit a lot of singles.
Yeah, I can. We can go back and forth with this because I can say this to that and that to this, and always can be. Well, he did that and he did that. I'm just talking about Hines Ward and what his production was, not compared to anybody else. And I thought it was Hall of Fame worthy, but that's my opinion. You have yours. That's cool. See what else is going on. Oh, got some phone calls. Jeff, take him. We got that. Also, a few other notes. Who was it that called yesterday just ripping on the Braves bullpen? He was prophetic. What was the, was that somebody in Brentwood? Was that Chuck in Brentwood, I think, that called? Just ripping on the Braves bullpen. And, well, it came true last night. Braves had a 3-1 lead going into the eighth inning, and A.J. Minter gets lit up. By the way, they had a John Barty for the Marlins, stole second. The Braves appealed, and on review, he was ruled out. And this is what got Jeff, who's coming up next, he set him off on Snitker getting thrown out after, you know, that play a couple nights ago. Mm-hmm. Well, Mattingly got his first ejection of the season after the fact and of that one. But they went ahead and won in 10 innings. If the Braves have an Achilles heel, it's their bullpen. Yeah.
Yeah, and it reared its ugly head last night, didn't it? Unfortunately for them, you're right.
Yeah, 3-1 lead going into the eighth inning. Oh, by the way,
I love what Acuna did, though. That was fun. The triple, and then he was able to tag up and score on a pretty shallow fly ball with the guy's back turn, and he just took off and before anybody knew it was there. What a player he is. He's fun to watch.
He's as good as there is.
Yep.
He really is. And he's the best leadoff hitter in baseball. You know, remember they tried to move him back a little bit, get him in a few maybe more RBI-type roles in the two or the three spot?
Yep.
He's exactly where he needs to be.
He's a table setter. Just, you know, let him get him on the bases, get on base, and just make stuff happen.
And Vanderbilt baseball tonight, Eastern Kentucky, yet another non-conference midweek game, 6:15. We'll have the pregame, Kevin Ingram, 6:30. And, of course, they're off to Knoxville Friday night at 6, ESPNU, Saturday at 3 on the SEC Network, Sunday at noon as well over there. Both teams 9-3 in conference play. 615-844-5600. Jeff, good morning.
What's going on, Greg, Burton? How y'all doing?
Hi, Jeff.
I just want to say I hope it goes well for Tennessee State and Eddie George. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I was reading the column this morning. The guy said he wouldn't bet against Eddie George. Said he thinks it might go better off the field than on the field, but said he wouldn't bet against him. So,
well, Greg made a good point yesterday. Eddie's smart enough to know what he doesn't know, and if he puts a good staff together, I think he can be successful.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on who he picks. Like I said, selection of team and staff and all that kind of stuff. But Burton, Hines Ward does have a Super Bowl ring, correct?
Yep, I was in the building. I covered that game. He's Super Bowl MVP, actually.
A Super Bowl MVP is enough. He needs to be in. It's enough.
No, it's not.
Worry about no stats.
No, it's not.
That's enough.
No, it's not.
Well, what about
Deion Branch? Deion Branch is a Super Bowl MVP. Is he in the Hall of Fame?
No, he ain't good enough.
I'm not saying Hines Ward's not a good player. I just don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I was in Pittsburgh. I covered him. Okay, that's my opinion. You don't agree? You don't agree?
Well,
I'm not gonna sit here and argue with people all day. That's just my opinion. Take it for what it's worth.
Fine. You got your opinion. That's fine. But I guess Pete Rose don't belong in the baseball.
Now we ain't going there. We're not opening up that can of worms.
Well, I'll tell you something about Mattingly. If he comes,
how many? Jeff, let me ask you something. How many games of Steelers games with Hines Ward did you actually watch, Jeff?
Quite a bit. I like the Steelers, so I don't know how many. I didn't keep count, Burton, like you. I didn't keep count up there. But see, Burton, when you was in Pittsburgh, you had a championship team up there. Down here at the Titans, you ain't got no championships. You can't win one down here. It's just simple.
I don't have any championships, period. I haven't won any championships. I cover teams.
You ain't covering no Super Bowl champions down here, though.
Not yet.
Pittsburgh got six of them in the case. So it's just simple.
And what's your point of that? What am I supposed to get out of that? How am I supposed to?
Titans over 50 years still looking for one. All they can win is the AFL championship. That's all they can win. So, but they might win one day with Vrabel being coachy. He might get one.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. I wasn't aware. Thank you for getting me up to date, Jeff. Anything else?
No, not really. Just Amy Adams Strunk. I know she's the greatest owner in NFL history. If you find out what she asked for lunch today, it'll be on Channel 5. I can guarantee you that. That's all y'all worried about. All you and Hutt's worried about the Titans. How many games is Hutt won
in
the NFL?
Because we're in Nashville, and the Titans are like the NFL team, so we cover them. That what part of that don't you get?
Well, it's not season.
So basically you're saying until the Titans win a championship, we shouldn't cover them or mention them. Is that what you're saying?
All right,
Jeff. All right, thanks. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. Go back to sleep. Anything to add to that, Greg?
No. You know, it always deviates off. So
this guy's... The logic of this guy is uncanny. So basically, we shouldn't talk about the Tennessee Titans because they haven't won a championship.
Well, no, he basically said we shouldn't talk about because they're out of season. But they're in the NFL, the season is year-round.
Yeah. Well,
but we all know that.
Go back to sleep, Jeff. But talk to you tomorrow.
I'm gonna make my case on Hines Ward with you a little bit later.
You go right ahead, man. You can say whatever you want.
Yep.
I'm not changing my mind. You're not changing your mind. No. I know his numbers. I was there.
Yeah, thousand.
I covered his entire career.
Oh, yeah, I understand. But let me ask you something. To ask Jeff how many games did he watch? You know, he could have watched every one of them. You know, but so. Anyway, he was always there. In every season, he played less. He never missed. In 1 year, he missed 3 games. Everything else, he'd be either 16 or 15 games.
And that's
1,000. One thing about being accountable and dependable. 1,000 catches, 12,000 yards.
He is all
yards.
Those things and then some. Yeah. All I'm saying is I don't – you know, you can tell the history of the NFL without Hines Ward. That's how I measure Hall of Famers.
There's several of them in there.
Can you tell the history of the NFL without Jerry Rice?
But that's apples and oranges.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's not. You can't compare Hines Ward to the greatest receiver.
Sure, you can.
If
you're telling me he's a Hall of Famer, I got to see.
Well, nobody else should be in the Hall of Fame except Jerry Rice.
I
got to
see. Well, no, no.
To
I
use your
say
argument,
that.
No one can measure up to Jerry Rice.
You know, Randy Moss is pretty good. Terrell Owens pretty good.
Exactly.
They're in the Hall of Fame. Michael Irvin's pretty good.
Yeah. Well,
I would take all those.
Hines Ward had more career yards than Michael Irvin.
25 to 30 receivers I'd rather have than Hines Ward.
Hines Ward had more yardage than Michael Irvin.
That's wonderful. Michael Irvin's career was cut short because of a neck injury.
So, yeah, but I can't say all. Well, is Hines Ward Jerry Rice? Well, hell no, he's not. Of course not. All right, hey, we'll take a break. You want to give us a call? 615-844-5600.
Welcome back to Love League. It's time for Jack to meet our final contestant, April Games. April is a fun-seeking Aries who loves fresh flowers, afternoon showers, and winning. April, describe your perfect night.
Well, Bob, I like to pick up some instant games, find my favorite lucky coin, and see where the night takes me.
Oh, okay. Well, Jack, who will it be?
Yeah, I'm going to take April Games, Bob.
It's hard not to pick a winner when you pick April Games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly. Get ready to knock down some fun with new multiplier instant games from the Tennessee Lottery. 4 great games that can multiply your next win into big money. Play for $1, $2, $5, or $10 for your chance to win up to $1 million in cash. Pick up a multiplier game today, and with a little luck, your cash could do some serious math. Multiplier games from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Cleveland, you guys ready to get started?
The 2021 NFL Draft. College football's best realize a lifelong dream.
With the first pick.
Get exclusive access to the future stars of the NFL as they take the stage, live from Cleveland.
Here's Lawrence, Najee Harris,
Zach Wilson, and Pitts got it.
Touchdown, Jamar Chase.
I am so pumped up about this draft.
The 2021 NFL Draft starts April 29th on NFL Network, ABC, ESPN, and ESPN Deportes.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Introducing new Kraft sandwiches at Slim Chickens. Try our Chicken Club sandwich with crispy bacon and cheese, the Cayenne Ranch sandwich with fried onions and Cayenne Ranch mayo, the Buffalo Ranch sandwich that's tossed in spicy buffalo sauce, or the crispy chicken sandwich, which is anything but basic. Slim's lineup of 4 Kraft sandwiches. The choice is yours. Whether you're driving through, ordering online, or pulling up curbside, Slim's has you covered.
With 3 locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Vicki Yates is here, ladies and gentlemen.
As a fan of both of the men, this is the place to be. Do you want to know about sports? This is the place to be. Listen to John and Greg. This is it.
Wow. That was awesome.
I quit.
I'm done. That's a mic drop.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio. WNSR.
Crazy Charlie, John Burton, Greg Pogue. You want to give us a call? Please do. Coming up top of the hour, we will be carrying the TSU Athletics Department press conference at Gentry Center a little bit later on with that. You got your crew over there today? I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're locked and loaded, ready to go. Absolutely.
The Vanderbilt spring game is this coming Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about it maybe earlier, but at 11 o'clock, the gates open at 10:30. It will be a limited crowd, first come, first serve. You'll need to just a couple of gates will be open, but the first 1,500 who come, they get a Vandy logoed, you know, like a mask
or whatever. Yeah, that's cool.
And so they're going to let it and sit about. You know, what do you have, what else you got going on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock?
Exactly. Go down, check out, I think Clark Lee's done a nice job of reaching out to the fans. I know when they moved that, their last scrimmage up, it was supposed to be last Saturday, they moved it up to Friday evening to stay ahead of some, you know, weather on Saturday. And Clark Lee was out there just, you know, just greeting the fans and just really – and he talked about it afterward, you know, really want to make a point of being, you know, of connecting this city and this fan base to the program. And not saying that other coaches haven't wanted to do that in the past at Vanderbilt, but I just thought it was really, I mean, he was very into it when he was asked about it. You know, he seemed pretty passionate about just wants to make that connection with the fan base. And I know this fan base has been waiting for this program to kind of turn around a little bit, and we'll see if Clark Lee can do it. But so far, I just get a good vibe about Clark Lee taking over that program, don't you?
Yeah, and the external component is what you just said is huge, because and what Vanderbilt has done over the years by not winning, obviously James Franklin did, it's had pockets of success.
Sure.
We know that.
Right.
But it's two things. One, not sustaining that success, but also growing new fans. That's the thing. How many people are moving into this market?
Was
Middleton,
like 100 a day?
About 18,000 a day, right?
Yeah,
if
like
you look
it,
at the traffic.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. I mean, and they're coming from all parts. They're coming with many of them. If they're coming from the West Coast or the Northeast, they probably don't have much college football allegiance. They could come in here if this team gets on a winning roll, and they're playing SEC people in there. There is a exerted effort,
mm-hmm.
that's real on this $300 million thing they're going to do with all the, you know, capitalization of all of the and the refurbishment or whatever they're going to do to the stadium and everything else they're going to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people I think would gravitate to Vanderbilt football because they don't have an allegiance. Does that make sense?
It does make a lot of sense. Yes, absolutely.
Because you know the Tennessee, Alabama, the people are already there. They're already there.
Right.
But the people coming in, you know, and they get on a little bit of a roll, I think they could capture a new audience.
I agree with you, man, because it's like when I lived in Pittsburgh, right, I wasn't necessarily a Pirates fan, but I wanted to see good baseball. You know, I wanted to live in a town that had a good baseball team. And I think a lot of people that move here, they want to, you know, they want to live in a town that has a good SEC football team that they can go watch and watch the other teams come in and have them compete and see good SEC football where they live. And so, you know, we have our diehards like Clay and the Schmitto Bros and those guys that, you know, bleed black and gold. But, you know, even for the quote unquote casual fan, let's make this an experience. You know, kind of like what the baseball team has done. The baseball teams become Nashville's team. They're almost like the third pro team here in town. because of their success.
Well, the Predators did it earlier on. While they weren't necessarily winning a lot, they really wanted to make it an overall mm-hmm. game presentation. They've done a more, I mean, that's
oh, fantastic.
That's been elevated.
I love going to Preds games.
Obviously,
I miss I'll be in the building tonight.
I think so. My gosh, Heinz Ward should be in the Hall of Fame. Every time you say that, right. Let's get a call before the break. 615-844-5600. Dane, good morning.
Dana Dane! That was bad. Oh, my God, that was so bad. I'm sorry. I botched that.
He's kind of slow this morning.
I botched that, Dane. That's my bad.
Kind of slow. We're going to have to we're gonna have to hire a clapper over there so we know when the cue is.
Man, I'm a little distracted today. I got a lot of stuff going on. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Except for, you know, my we're actually under quarantine over here, my wife's dealing with COVID.
Oh, man.
Sorry to hear that.
Give her our best, will you?
Yeah, I will. She's better than she was. Went down to the beach the other day, and she came home having trouble breathing. We went to the doctor Sunday. Sure enough, man, she had COVID, so she's on the breathing apparatus and the whole thing.
Our thoughts and prayers are with you.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. That's nice, man. It's very nice, y'all. But I wanted to say this, you know. I mean, you know, Burton, I kind of take joy when you take Jeff to task.
I've been trying to work with him to let it go a little bit.
Oh, man, you can't just call up and just come at me with this crazy stuff and I'm not going to respond. That's what this whole thing is about. You know what I'm saying?
I get some kind of weird charge out of
it. Listen, Jeff is.
And then Greg, I have to congratulate you on Bill's show when you texted in and said that. You know, I haven't been to the Bung and Nut Pig since like 1992.
Yeah. Well, what he is was talking about the Cosby cattleman called and said he was going to meet at the Bunging Up Pig in Murfreesboro and, you know, hire Jeff Fisher and fire Rick Stockstill.
Oh, really?
Down there. And I've just texted Bill, the Bunging Up Pig's been closed about 12, 15 years.
I've invited the Cosby cattleman to come to Nashville and have dinner with me.
Why?
Because why not?
Why not? Then you need, you should get Jeff there too.
Every journey starts with one small step, Greg.
Well, if my step when it comes to Cosby cattleman is going to be backwards.
Oh, listen.
I'm going to be backpedaling.
Listen, the guy's a total idiot, but if he wants to come and discuss some things, he's more than welcome to.
You just want
to
get him where you can grab
him. No, not at all. Stop it, Greg. Come on. Me?
And I'm going to say this. Do y'all know what on cable, the network called Decade?
No. I haven't heard of that. Okay. Have you, Greg?
No.
Decade?
Anyway, I have it.
And okay.
So they run all these old reruns. It's like MeTV.
Oh, gotcha.
So Greg, last night I was watching one of the old Dick Cavett shows, and guess who the guest was on there with Phil Silver?
Wow.
This is a great question. It was they had Pauline Tabor on there.
I don't know who that is.
I do. She was a famous madam in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and ran one of the famous whorehouses in the United States.
Well, okay then.
Hey, you can't say houses on this radio station. What's the matter with you?
Establishment of ill repute. Oh, when they tore it down, they sold the bricks. It was Pauline was a famous madam, very famous madam.
Gotcha.
And
from Bowling Green.
In Bowling Green, they came from all over.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
Well, back then, only if you got anything, you just get a shot for it.
I got you.
All right. Hey, Dane, we got to run, man.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, I'm going to call tomorrow because I got some other
things. Okay, yeah. All right. Hey, Pauline's, there was a
give our best to the wife.
Pauline's, there was a movie made about her, a bunch of books made about her.
Yeah.
Yep. So, anyway, The Little Whorehouse in Texas, Dolly Parton's movie, was sort of based loosely on Pauline's in Bowling Green.
Okay.
There you go.
Wasn't Burt Reynolds in that?
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price, too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. You're going to be a wonderful mom, and I can't wait to be a grandpa. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. I struggled to connect with almost everyone and preferred being alone. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. In fact, I called Jim first with the news about my granddaughter, Lizzie. Hey, Jim, I'm going to be a grandfather.
Congratulations, Dave.
Hey, let's get together and celebrate.
Well, as long as you're not grilling.
My pride was my armor, but I didn't know it then. I couldn't put it into words. I was sad, was scared, I felt alone. I didn't know how to reach out, so I hid behind anger and silence. But then I decided to listen to Jim, and I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit MakeTheConnection.net to find out more.
The 2021 NFL Draft. College football's best. Realize a lifelong dream.
With the first pick.
Get exclusive access to the future stars of the NFL as they take the stage. Live from Cleveland.
Here's Lawrence. Najee Harris.
Zach Wilson.
I am so pumped up about this draft.
The 2021 NFL Draft starts April 29th on NFL Network, ABC, ESPN, and ESPN Deportes. Snickers, the official chocolate sponsor of the 2021 NFL Draft. Snickers satisfies.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. For today, mostly cloudy with a stray afternoon shower, the high 74. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 50. For Wednesday, it's going to be mostly cloudy with an isolated shower, high 68. Thursday, sunny. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Few moments away from carrying the Tennessee State University Athletics Department press conference. It is a big announcement, John.
I wonder what
they are going to have over there. It's going to be a big presentation. They got the Aristocrat of Bands over there playing, and it's in Gentry Center, and certainly also George Plaster's over there, and he's sort of like our Cub reporter. He's going to be checking in with us after it's over, maybe not. We may get Eddie. We'll see. I'm not expecting that. Not today.
He's going to get. He's going through the car wash today.
Yeah. So
he's going to do all kinds of national and
local. That's
and
cool.
Local and interviews and stuff. So,
we'll get them.
You know.
We'll be in the rotation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, stay tuned. Hopefully we'll get them before.
And also, after it becomes official, I have some things that I couldn't say until it became official.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll
okay. We'll look forward to that.
I'll have some thoughts on
that. Are we going to argue about Heinz Ward again?
No. I won the argument.
Yeah.
Why should I keep, you know, I've already won.
Yeah.
No, there was a when they put Edelman, there was a lot of discussion about him being in the Hall of Fame, and somebody tweeted out the career comparison numbers, and it was like 2-1 Hines Ward compared to Edelman. But anyway. So
you're not changing my mind, bro.
Well, do you think Edelman's not Hall of Fame, right?
No, he's not.
No. Well, we'll see. I'm going to make my. Yeah. I am going
Again,
to make my case.
This is all my opinion. Take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people agree, and a lot of people disagree. I think he's one of those polarizing. If you have that, I just was a big fan of his game, and he was productive.
I can tell.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, he did everything asked of him. So, how was he to deal with? Okay, it seemed like he was straight up.
Yeah, he was from the Jerome Bettis School of media training. You know, he was very, very fan friend. Fans loved him because he was very accommodating to the media. He was, like I said, I got professionally, I got along with him very well.
Played at Georgia, family background from South Korea. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, coming up, the TSU Athletics Press Conference.
WPDQ.
Greensboro.
We're going to wait for our royal court to be seated. And right on cue. Good morning, everyone. Now, let's see if we can say that a little bit with more, a little bit more excitement. Good morning, everyone. I am Kelly Sharp, Assistant Vice President of Public Relations and Communications here at The Tennessee State University. I am so excited to have you here this morning where we make this special announcement in the history of our program. The press conference will include remarks from our president, Dr. Glenda Glover, followed by Director of Athletics, Dr. Mickey Allen, and then, of course, our special guest. We will also have a Q&A segment with the media, and hopefully everyone will get an opportunity to ask a question. We will end promptly at 10:30 due to another engagement. So I'm going to ask now that you please put all your mobile devices on silent, and we're going to begin this great day in the history of Tennessee State University by me turning things over to our eighth president, Dr. Glenda Glover.
Good morning. I am delighted that you have joined us for this special announcement regarding our TSU football program. First, I want to thank the Aristocrat of Bands for setting the tone with an air of anticipation and added excitement. You are indeed a superior class of your own. Thank you to our cheerleaders for always applauding the occasion. To the SGA leadership and the Royal Court, led by our SGA president, Ms. Dominic Davis, thanks to each of you for being here today, for your leadership and your guidance. I'd like to recognize some of our dignitaries and elected officials in attendance. TSU Board of Trustees, Trustee Pam Martin, Trustee Van Pienaar, thank you very much. And our student member of the Board of Trustees, Trustee Tiara Thomas. Members of the President's Cabinet, TSU faculty and staff, our elected officials, TSU alumnus, see Representative Harold Love, and Senator Brenda Gilmore. Thank you all. And all other elected officials who are present with us this morning. We recognize the leadership with TSU, the National Alumni Association, led by our national president, Mr. Charles Galbraith, and all TSU alumni. Thank you. A special word of thanks to Mr. Butch Spiridon and the Nashville Convention and Visitors Corporation, who have helped in producing today's event, and the members of their board of directors and their staff. I'm going off script for a moment, and I want to thank our outgoing coach, Rod Reed. When I first came in 2013, he was one of the first persons I met, and I just became quite fond of him. So contrary to what rumors may say, when we shared with him 6 weeks ago about the painstaking decision regarding his future as head coach, I knew then that he was a tiger for life. For decades. For decades, TSU has always made bold and strategic appointments within our athletic programs and laid the foundation for our historic success in sports. Today is a new day at TSU and for TSU athletics as we continue to make strategic moves in athletics from the legendary Big John Merrick, basketball visionary John McClendon, the father of track and field Ed Temple, and trailblazing golf coach Dr. Quintana Starks. All were bold and strategic hires that went on to make athletic history at TSU that captured the world's attention. Our announcement today is no different. It is bold, it is strategic, and it is in the spirit of creating a winner to continue the TSU spirit of excellence. This new direction will focus, will infuse our football program and continue to propel TSU as a premier HBCU and as an institution coupled with other major initiatives that are currently taking place across the landscape of this university. About a year ago, we hired a new director of athletics, Dr. Mickey Allen. I charged him with making bold and innovative decisions that would take our athletic programs to another level, and he has done that. With this announcement today regarding the TSU football program, now let's please welcome AD Mickey Allen.
Thank you, President Glover, for those kind remarks, and I'm just so grateful to work for you, and your leadership and support for athletics has been phenomenal, and I thank you for that. It's a huge day in TSU athletics history, and it's a great day to be a TSU Tiger. You know, yeah. You know, when I took over this program a year ago, my priority one was to make sure that with this TSU football program, that we did the necessary things and made the necessary decisions to renew the standard of excellence of this historic program. Well, today we take the first bold step towards accomplishing this goal. I'm excited to introduce the new leader that will become the 22nd head coach of our football program. But before I do so, I'm proud to say that our new leader is a proven winner both on and off the field. He's a Nashville hero and one of the greatest players of all time. He's passionate and knowledgeable about the game of football, but more importantly, he's dedicated and committed to developing and teaching young men the game of football. He's dynamic, he's charismatic, he's energetic and magnetic, and has all the tools and magnetic and has all the tools necessary to build a championship level program here at the Tennessee State University. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in officially introducing the next head football coach of the illustrious Tennessee State University, Eddie George.
Dr. Glover, hold it up on your end. There you go.
Right.
Now the helmet.
I'll take the
helmet. Oh,
nice. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Wow. Oh, man. Thank you, everyone, for coming out today for this momentous occasion. This is a new chapter for me. I'd like to thank Dr. Glover, Dr. Allen, for believing in me to do this job. I'm very excited about it. Thank you, Tiger Nation, Big Blue, for embracing me as your next head coach. I'm extremely excited about it. First of all, I would like to acknowledge Coach Rod Reed and his staff for their service to the university for the past 10 years. They did an amazing job here. Yes, yes. Rod is a proud alumni of Tennessee State University, and he did an amazing job, and I look to take what he's done here to the next level. Like I said, I'm honored to be named the 22nd head coach of this university, this program. And I truly understand the history when it comes to Tennessee State football. I've been living here for well over 24 years. In fact, when we first got here from Houston, we landed here at Tennessee State. And I was very familiar with the 13 national black championships that they've won here. The Hall of Fame coaches, like Henry Dean and Howard Gentry Sr., John A. Merritt, Joe Gillum Sr., great players like Richard Dent, Claude Humphrey, NFL Hall of Famers. I mean, number one in HBCUs in terms of putting players in the NFL. Very aware, extremely aware of the rich history here, and I get it. So taking this job on carries a lot of weight. I have some big shoes to fill, but I feel like I'm the man to get the job done. I'm extremely excited. We have a lot of work to do. This is a day of excitement, and I'm just proud to be a Tiger. Go Big Blue. Thank you.
At this time, we will have media Q&A. I ask that if the reporter, if you have a question, please come to the mic. And hopefully we'll get everybody in before our hard stop at 10:30. I'd ask for you to say your name, your outlet, and ask your question.
Corey Curtis with News 2. Eddie?
Corey, hello. Good seeing you, man.
Good to see you. Congratulations.
I can't recognize you with the mask on, but that's all right. You look good.
The blue eyes.
Yeah, blue. It's a blue day.
When you took the leap to Broadway,
yeah,
the pressure was on you to represent your family. Now you have the hopes and dreams of an entire community. Mm-hmm. How heavily does that weigh on you?
That's a huge responsibility, and one that I did not take lightly. When I was presented with this opportunity a few weeks ago, I was speechless. I was floored. I was like, no, in the beginning. But I have to be honest, when I had some excitement about it, like, man, that would be pretty cool to be a head coach. I seen what Deion has done down in Jackson State, the energy that he created. Coaching wasn't on the forefront of my mind, but when I talked to my family, I said, Tamara, listen to this. You know, they want me to be the head coach at Tennessee State University. Can you believe that? I said, what do you think? She says, well, why not?
That's what a wife is.
I was like, okay, yeah. Yeah. And I did my checklist. I put down the pros and cons. I reached out to several NFL coaches. I've leaned on some friends and family for some sound advice, both in the profession, out of the profession, in the working world, in the entrepreneur world, just to see what they thought about it and to see what this job will entail. It's truly all boots rise mentality when it comes to this. When you look at any football program, the eyeballs of an institution are through the football program. Believe it or not, any institution you look at, Ohio State or Tennessee or wherever. So we have an opportunity to really do some great things here. So, yes, I do feel the weight of that. And I had to ask myself, Corey, if I had the energy, the focus, the commitment to do that, because, you know, I was on Broadway. I've done so many different things. DJ, I've been doing things in the community, and I have my businesses I'm running. And I had to really be honest with myself and say, hey, can I do this? But when I got focused and locked in, I said, man, this is not about me. This is about something bigger than me. Mm-hmm. So leadership and being a head coach is about service and serving others. And I'm at a place in my life where I'm ready to do just that. And whatever comes along with that, the good and the bad, the ugly, I'm willing to deal with it and move accordingly. Because my goal is to get this program back to prominence. And I put my word on that. I'm fully committed. I'm totally focused on it. And I'm excited to do it.
Before we go to the next question, we want to acknowledge that very smart woman who convinced you to take this job. We'd like you to recognize your wife.
Well, I mean, my family's over here, my wife, yes. My grandmother, my mother, my aunts, my sons, cousins, friends, fraternity brothers. They're all here. Thank you.
Okay, next question, please.
Eddie Chris Harris at News 4 here in Nashville. Congratulations, sir. I just wanted to know, have you ever thought about being a head coach up until you were presented with this opportunity a couple of weeks ago, and what makes you believe that you can be a successful head coach, mm-hmm. having never really entertained this notion?
Honestly, no. 6 months ago in COVID, I was listening to my wife's soundtracks as we were cleaning the house for 18 times, the 18th time. You know, I was focused on building my business, my wealth management business. And that's what I was really aiming for. I was looking to do that and play golf every day. But when I got the phone call and they asked me about it, again, I was like, are you sure you know what you're asking me? But again, it just resonated in my spirit and it wouldn't go away. You know, I just really, truly relied on my intuition about it. Like, okay, I need to keep seeking this and moving forward and finding out what is the fulfillment on the other side of this. So I see it from one perspective as a player, but not as a coach. So I had to really do my due diligence in that. So just like anything else, man, I had to start off as an actor somewhere, and I did just that. I ended up on Broadway. I went back and got my master's in business. I went to Kellogg School of Management. Mm-hmm. I started my own businesses. I had to start somewhere. And I have no doubt that, again, you know, I can be successful at this because, yes, we're going to win, and that's what we want to do. We want to win championships. We want to have banners hanging up in the rafters. But what success means to me is when a kid can come here to this college, get an education, number one, and be prepared for life after football or after sports, win a championship, be molded, be guided, and have a support system thereafter to come back to Blue Nation and to share ideas and be a mentor. That's success to me. So, yeah, I believe I can do that. I've been a mentor my whole life. I've been mentoring these two young men, my sons, my whole life. I've been in business, board meetings my whole life. There's elements and components that have prepared me for this moment. Now, the nuances of coaching a game in game, yeah, I'm going to get criticized for not going forward on fourth down. Maybe we should go forward on for a two-point conversion. I mean, you guys are Monday morning quarterbacks. I mean, I was that. I was an NFL analyst. So every aspect of this opportunity I've been through, I've been recruited. My sons have been recruited. So I understand that world. Now, to get into the nuances of it, that's where the learning curve is going to be. And I just ask for your patience. I ask for your support to do this, because the number one goal is to win and to bring prominence back to this university where it belongs.
Eddie, Mike Organ with the Tennessean. Good to see you.
Good seeing you, Mike.
Can you talk about, again, you said that when you were first approached, can you and Mickey both talk about the genesis of this relationship, how it came about, and you saying no right away?
Yeah. When me and Dr. Glover contacted Eddie, we were talking through that, right? And she says, Dr. Allen, what is he going to say? I said, first thing, he's going to pause. And he's not going to say anything, because the Eddie George that I know and I've been watching is very intentional about what he does, what he puts his name on, his brand. And as we continue to talk to him about this phenomenal opportunity, I knew I had to sell it to him. I did. I knew I had to sell it to him, because I knew that he had other endeavors off the field that he has been excelling at. But I did know this in my gut. I knew when I looked at the list of candidates, and every AD has his list of guys that fit. Eddie George had all the intangibles inside him. He's been a winner. He's been someone that has excelled as an entrepreneur. He's been someone that's been a pillar of Nashville. You know, he's the face of Nashville. And I'm thinking long term, as we talk to him, if we can get him to do this, Dr. Glover, he's going to have a transformational impact, not only on our young people and our football student athletes, but the university at large and the Nashville community. And I'm extremely excited about that.
I'm going to follow up on that one. It was Trustee Pam Martin that gave me Eddie George's number. And we said, let's give him a call. So when I gave him the initial phone call, I think he thought I was calling about some money for TSU. I said, I want to talk to you about Texas. I want to talk to you about something. So it took him a while. He called back, and he was prepared to say, let's engage and let's talk about fundraising. But when I went in another direction and said, talk about coaching, he was quiet. He paused. He gave us that pause and said, let's meet. So we met and talked for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then 3 more hours. Then he said, I need this, I need that. So I said, maybe this is going to be too expensive. May not be a good deal after all.
Next.
Yeah, next.
Hey, Eddie, George Plaster with WNSR Radio. Can you talk a little bit about what Jeff Fisher has done to help you through this process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, you know, when I was approached with this opportunity, I'm going to look at it from every minute angle. I'm going to pick it up like this helmet and look at every situation as possible to see what I'm really getting myself into. I come from the football world, but in terms of the business side, I was not as familiar with it. So who best than to reach out to Jeff Fisher? Now, I reached out to various coaches. Coach Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. I reached out to Mike Vrabel. I reached out to Luke Fickell. I reached out to guys both in the professional ranks and college ranks to understand what are their day-to-day jobs, to truly get a grasp of their duties outside of the field, because that's where you win. You win in, you know, in administration. You win in the culture that's set from leadership. So in talking to Jeff, I'll never forget it. I was on my way to a golf trip in Florida, and I said, Jeff, give me a call. You know, I want to talk to you about something. This is during the time when he was looking at a couple opportunities for himself with, I think, at Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Auburn. And we were having some dialogue, and I hadn't told him about the opportunity. So I was still very lukewarm on the idea of taking the opportunity. I was probably at about a 30% chance that I would do it at that point. So I'm sitting on the tarmac, about to get on this plane to go play some golf, and Jeff calls me and says, hey, man, I want to talk to you about this. Now, listen to this ridiculous idea. I just got approached with this opportunity to coach at TSU, man. I mean, to be the head coach at TSU. What do you think about that? And he says, oh, Eddie, that would be great. You would be awesome. Listen, Jeff drafted me in 1996. We went on an amazing run here in Tennessee. And he knows how to push my buttons. And when I tell you I was ready to run through a brick wall after get off the phone with him, I said, are we going to do this, this, that? I was like, let's do it. So, you know, having Jeff has been invaluable. He's really has gone out of his way to guide me, to teach me, to show me all the blind spots, things to think about away from the field in terms of running things efficiently. And setting up your camps and all the stuff that you need to do to present the package for the players and so forth. So that's been huge. And the thrill of it has been, honestly, is reconnecting with Jeff in this capacity. You know, he was been my coach. Now he's my mentor, helping me become a coach. And to talk about our days together and coming to Tennessee and the stories that we've shared has prepared me for this moment. I mean, we were just recollecting on a few things a couple of days ago, and it's been awesome just working with him in this capacity.
Steve Lehman, News Channel 5. Eddie, congratulations. I've got two, one quick for Eddie and then one for Dr. Allen. Eddie, start with you. You mentioned the learning curve. What do you think the biggest challenge will be for you as you step into this role?
Well, as soon as I get off this podium, it's time to get busy. So I got to get in here, understand the culture, understand what's here already, understand the infrastructure. That's going to be the biggest learning curve, is put that first foot out there. Of course, there's recruiting. Of course, there's a lot of stuff that I have to understand with compliance and all of that. But number one is understanding what's here and what's needed from our team. I haven't yet to talk to the kids. That's the number one thing, the priorities of the kids, those players. I got to find out what they need. Listen, they've been going through a season that we've never seen before. They had a spring season, you know, COVID, all of that. They're exhausted. I got to know where their minds are. And I've got to figure out who they are and what they want to accomplish. So that's my number one goal as soon as I step off of the stage is understanding that. And then there'll be other challenges. There'll be game day challenges. There'll be, you know, I got to learn when to call the timeout and when not to and all of that stuff. That's going to come. But we're going to take this bad boy one step at a time and one breath at a time and one bite at a time. And that's how I'm going to approach this.
And, Dr. Allen, there's been some talk from people who are tied into the program lately about the resources and the funding in terms of scholarships and things like that. Eddie's a huge splash in the community. Is TSU, are you ready to fund everything to the level that puts it on a level playing field with the rest of the OVC and the FCS?
We've all got a great vision for this program. We've talked about the resource allocation and what's necessary to take us to the top of the OVC pyramid. You know, and then when we're competing in the FCS, we're chasing the North Dakota State. We want to win national titles. We don't just want to win conference titles, okay? So there's a commitment financially that goes into that. But I'm just proud and that we have a group aligned here. And with Dr. Glover's leadership, we're setting down and we're looking at what that looks like. Because at the end of the day, the beneficiary of our vision is going to be our young people. They got to go out and execute. Right. And they got to be stewards of those resources when we get in between the lines through Eddie's leadership to take on all challenges.
And that's a presidential question. And we have made that commitment to ensure that we have a winning program.
Any additional questions? Well, thank you so much. This will conclude our press conference. We thank you for coming out for this historic day as we officially introduce our new head football coach, Coach Eddie George. Thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to the TSU Athletics Department press conference from the Gentry Center with Dr. Glover and Athletic Director Dr. Mickey Allen and, of course, the new TSU football coach.
Can you confirm it now, Greg?
It is confirmed. Plaster, you heard him ask a question. George Plaz will get his thoughts from over at Gentry Center and your phone calls as well, and we'll have some thoughts, obviously,
yeah,
as well.
Yep.
615-844-5600. We'll take a break.
Hey, Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rearview mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java. Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company now is also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee and fresh baked goods all day long. For me, there's no better way to start the day than with the Egg McBongo. It's perfect. A fried egg with cheddar jack cheese on an English muffin. That, paired with a cup of coffee, is the best way to start your day at Bongo Java in the Omni Nashville Hotel. You can kick back and listen to the spin of vinyl records while enjoying a board game or two with all of your best friends. Open at 7 days a week and brewing up till 2, Bongo Java adds to the great Omni Nashville Hotel experience. That's Bongo Java, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Hi, I'm Vivica Fox. For more than 100 years, American Humane has been helping our best friends in their worst times, during hurricanes, tornadoes, and increasingly, wildfires. They're real heroes to these animals. But Mother Nature isn't the only danger that animals face. Sometimes it's human nature that's the greatest threat. Each year, more than 6 million beautiful adoptable animals are being abandoned, and more than 1 million are euthanized before they can be rescued. These animals need heroes too. Heroes to open up their hearts and homes and to give them the love they deserve. Be a hero to an animal in need. Consider becoming an American Humane Rescue Volunteer or adopt from your local shelter. Visit AmericanHumane.org to find out how you can be a hero and help our best friends in their worst times.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast. For today, mostly cloudy with a stray afternoon shower, the high 74. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 50. For Wednesday, it's going to be mostly cloudy with an isolated shower, high 68. Thursday, sunny. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
I'm excited to introduce the new leader that will become the 22nd head coach of our football program. But before I do so, I'm proud to say that our new leader is a proven winner both on and off the field. He's a Nashville hero and one of the greatest players of all time. He's passionate and knowledgeable about the game of football. But more importantly, he's dedicated and committed to developing and teaching young men the game of football. He's dynamic, he's charismatic, he's energetic and magnetic, and has all the tools necessary to build a championship level program here at the Tennessee State University. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in officially introducing the next head football coach of the illustrious Tennessee State University, Eddie George.
Wow. Oh, man. Thank you, everyone, for coming out today for this momentous occasion. This is a new chapter for me. I'd like to thank Dr. Glover, Dr. Allen for believing in me to do this job. I'm very excited about it. Thank you, Tiger Nation, Big Blue, for embracing me as your next head coach. I'm extremely excited about it. First of all, I would like to acknowledge Coach Rod Reed and his staff for their service to the university for the past 10 years. They did an amazing job here. Yes, yes. Rod is a proud alumni of Tennessee State University, and he did an amazing job, and I look to take what he's done here to the next level.
Eddie George, Dr. Mickey Allen, the athletic director, introducing Eddie George, his opening statements after being named the new head coach at Tennessee State University. We're going to be joined by George Plaster, who was at the press conference. Mm-hmm. He heard George's question about Jeff Fisher. Just any thoughts right off the top before we joined by George?
The biggest takeaway I take from that is that how aggressive TSU was in going after Eddie and saying, we feel like you're the guy, and how he at first was like, I don't know if I want to do this or can do this, but I just like the fact that how it kind of grew from there, you know, and how Eddie did his due diligence. He did his intel. He did, you know, he talked to the people that he trusted and said, yeah, this is your time. They're choosing you for a reason. So go do it. And so, like I said, it's a great opportunity for him, but my number two takeaway, Greg, would be the fact that, you know, the university now has to step up, right? Give him the resources he needs to be successful, a recruiting budget, you know, an opportunity for his team to get together and work out during the summer. You know what I mean? You know, I've heard a lot of talk. We want to win championships. We want this and we want that. You know, Eddie George can't do it by himself, right? You know, the university has to step up and give him the groceries so he can cook the dinner. So that's going to be the biggest thing for me. Do I think Eddie George can be successful? Sure, why not? If he puts together a good staff, you know, and he learned, and he's going to put in the work. We know that. You know, Eddie George is all about hard work and getting the job done. I think he's capable of doing that. I just want to see, you know, what the university is going to do to help him get to where he needs to get to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I want to, one thing about, and I haven't been able to address this, I've seen some criticism of TSU for the leak. Of course, you would have liked for the Rod Reed to finish, not have to deal with that at his post-game press conference, but I do know, and I've known about this for about a month, that this was in the works, and I also knew the past 2 to 3 weeks that it was happening, and then other components right. of it
Dr.
as well.
Dr. Glover said that they informed Rod 6 weeks ago.
Yes, he knew, I knew that he knew, we knew, So the criticism, I know how hard TSU worked to not let it get out. However, mm-hmm. When Rod Reed's telling his players, when Rod Reed's telling his coaches what's happening, when there's so many people, so many components inside and outside of the university, I had a conversation with Dr. Allen Sunday morning, and he said to me, I'm surprised it's not gotten out before now, you know, quite frankly. But mm-hmm. the TSU was very diligent about doing it the right way and honoring Rod Reed. And it was unfortunate how it all played out. But TSU did not leak that story. I'll just tell you that right now. Let's get George. Yep. Hey, George.
Hey, Blas. Good morning.
What's up, man? How you doing, man?
Hey, good morning to you guys. And, Greg, I will echo what you're saying as far as who leaked or who didn't leak. You know, I was afraid to talk to you about it because I've known about it for weeks, and it's a miracle that this thing held as long as it did. I guess I'll just leave it at that, but I know what the truth is in it, and the truth is exactly what you just said.
Well, guys, I understand that, but, you know, you got to understand how it looked.
Yeah.
Right. When it did leak out, and then Rod afterwards, after the game against SEMO, saying, I don't know anything about it, I'm not confirming anything, I'm not denying anything, you know, basically making it sound like he was still the head coach. So it led a lot of people to believe X, Y, and Z. That's yeah. the only thing. And so a lot of people came up with their own conclusions. They expressed their opinions. But, you know, as it turns out, as you both have said, this has been in the works for a long time, and everybody knew about it, including Rod.
Well, and divorces usually get messy.
Yes.
Yes, they do. Just your overall thoughts about the entire press conference, George?
Well, I thought it was very well done. I thought it was a very classy move on Eddie George's part right off the bat to acknowledge Rod Reed. Rod Reed is a really good man. And the truth of it is, on a personal level, nobody wants this for him. Nobody wanted it for him. And look, nobody understands this feeling more than I do, because 30 years ago I was put in this same position with Watson Brown, who now is my co-host in the afternoons on this radio station. And a lot of people know I got fired as a Vanderbilt announcer for defending my friend Watson Brown. And so I know exactly the kind of emotions and kind of feelings that go on in this. So I really liked that move at the very beginning. Greg, I've known Eddie from the day, just like you have, from the day they got here. He and I did a radio show together after the home games over at Vanderbilt Stadium. He's the most intense competitor I have ever been around. This guy hates losing more than any human being that I know. And I am convinced that this is going to be a very good move. Number one, I think he's going to put his heart and soul into it, just like everything else he has ever done, where he has been a total success at everything he's ever touched. And I think the beauty of this is there's certain pieces that he knows he doesn't know. And I give him a lot of credit, because he is not afraid to reach out to people in his football world to say, help me to understand what I'm getting in the middle of.
George Plaster is our guest. Plaz, I agree with you 100%. I thought he was very honest in saying, look, I don't know everything. I'm going to be leaning on some people. He's got to put together a good staff, which I believe he will. Where are you at with what Greg and I were just talking before you came on with us? You know, one of the biggest things I know that Rod was up against when he was the head coach at Tennessee State was, you know, the lack of resources, no recruiting budget, and inability to have the players attend summer school and stay together during the summer. You know, my partner at News Channel 5, Steve, asked specifically about that at the end of the presser, and they said, you know, we're going to make that commitment. That's going to be key to Eddie's success. Not only how good of a coach he is and what kind of staff he puts together, but the university's going to have to really, you know, give him the groceries to cook the dinner, no?
Oh, you're absolutely right, John. And that's one of the sad things, is that for a good man who was an alum, they really didn't do that for Rod Reed to the level that it was needed. So now all of a sudden they've got the limelight. They've got the national attention. You know, Eddie will be, you know, on Stephen A. Smith and things like that over the next few days.
Oh, sorry.
And what's going to happen is the spotlight is going to be on them, but that can work on the flip side, because if this turns out to be a dud and they don't do their part, they're going to get ripped. You and I both know that. And the other thing that they're going to get a little bit of an advantage of is that Eddie George will probably be able to reach out into certain parts of Nashville, Tennessee. I mean, let's call it what it is. The white community is probably going to support Eddie as well as any Tennessee State football coach has ever been supported, because his level of influence in this community is huge. I mean, you can't think of many people who have more influence. And so Tennessee State, not only are they going to have to do their part, but they're also going to be the recipient of a lot of gifts that will come out of nowhere, because Eddie George is who he is.
George, do you see more HBCUs going this route? I mean, it kind of started, well, it started really with Doug Williams going to Grambling and being the head coach there for as long as he was. But, you know, you got Deion Sanders at Jackson State, now Eddie George at Tennessee State. I could see a pattern of these HBCU football programs bringing in these big names to help in, obviously, recruiting and national profile, et cetera.
John, you know that's the case, and you know better than I do that the HBCUs have never played on an equal playing field. And this is one way they've sort of said, okay, we're going to try to even the playing field a little bit by creating a level of publicity that you know, maybe orchestrated a little bit. And if it works, great. And if not, you know, what did we have to lose? Because most of them don't have proper funding. Most of them don't have Ohio State kind of fan bases. And so they're trying to think outside the box. And I'll be honest, for the criticism that some of them have received, I applaud the fact that they have thought outside the box and said, you know, if all else is equal, we're probably not going to get this done, so let's be a little creative.
Well, I do know what his base is going to be. I do know what the assistant coaching pool is going to be. Let's just say it's very, very competitive, even with some of the lower level FBSs and the number, and so what he will be able to do, and with Jeff Fisher's involvement. I know you asked a question about Jeff. George, we're up against the break. We need to take it because we got two to get into before the top of the hour to get in, because we ran the entire press conference. I know, you'll be in deep into heavy into it, this afternoon from 2 to 5, and we'll all be getting, Eddie and Dr. Allen and everybody on here in the next few days. So thanks for checking in and everything. So, and we'll be listening this afternoon too.
Greg, John, happy to do it. Listen, guys, you're doing a great job, and I really appreciate having both of you all as teammates, so to speak.
All right,
back at you, man.
All right, see you, George. Thanks.
Thank
man
you, George.
See you guys. Take care.
All right. We have the opportunity to take a few calls. We'll try to squeeze them in. 615-844-5600.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español.
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bon dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real-life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game-changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy conforme. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et du vient tout.
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, Babbel.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Come celebrate Lowe's first annual Spring Fest and give your lawn the look it deserves. With 5 bags of premium mulch for $10 or 3 19.3-ounce Bonnie vegetables and herbs for $9. Spring Fest, a festival of fun and savings for your garden and total home, in-store or online. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. Offers valid through 4/21 while supplies last, in-store only. Selection varies by location, U.S. only, excluding Alaska and Hawaii.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Martin Truex Jr. becomes 2021's first multi-winner at Martinsville this past weekend. Up next, more short track action from Richmond Raceway. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hey, I'm Martin Truex Jr., and you're listening to the Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And check us out on YouTube. Search for Final Lap Radio every single weekday right here.
WNSR 615-844-5600. Crazy Charlie, John Burton, Greg Pogue, Omni Nashville Hotel, Gog and Cold Hall presenting this. Well, you just heard the press conference. I'm sure it's out there all over our social media, everywhere you go, able to go get it. It was 30 minutes.
Yep.
The question of Jeff Fisher, our boy Plaz asked, and of course, Jeff goes to Eddie goes to Jeff, obviously, as he should. Mm-hmm. We will see how involved that Jeff will become. Also, some hirings. Who's it going to be? Reports are that Jeff's son Brandon Fisher, who has paid his dues. This isn't. Hey, I'll come help if you hire my son. That's not that. This is not that deal. Brandon Fisher. He's been at Auburn recently. Yep. Mm-hmm. He was a defensive coordinator at Southern Utah. Other places he's been. So he has paid his dues to get to this point. So don't worry about the nepotism, if that's what it were.
But Greg, the one thing I'll say about nepotism, Joe Buck said this years ago, it's fine as long as you keep it keep it in the family. Yeah, I kind of botched that, but
you know I know where you were headed. Yeah, yeah, I'd heard that.
But I mean,
before.
You know,
yeah.
It is what it is. I mean, we all know what it is. Well, but yeah, we're also hearing, like I said, Hugh Jackson's name has been bantied about as a possible offensive coordinator. You know, those are the reports. We'll see what what flourishes with that. You know, former head coach of the Raiders and the Cleveland Browns.
So Eddie George
is the new leader of Big Blue. That's huge news. And like me and George were talking about George Plaster, not Eddie George. We'll talk to him at some point, I'm sure. I think we're going to see this be the pattern now at HBCU football programs, you know, bring in these big names, regardless if they have coaching experience or not, you know, bring them in to improve the profile. You got Deion at Jackson State. You got Eddie George at TSU. How much national attention is the Southern Heritage Classic going to get this year?
Yeah, that's the second Saturday of the season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it usually draws about 50,000, about 100. It's a week-long festival. Yeah, but you got Deion on one side and Eddie on the other. And Deion came out yesterday calling the hiring phenomenal. Yep. And it's this the way of things are in our country. There's a very much commitment to HBCUs that hadn't been there from across demographics.
And it's big because my mother went to an HBCU. Both my sisters went to an HBCU, so you know it's a big thing, and you know, you heard Eddie talk about it, just how this program, Tennessee State, I think you told me yesterday, they've sent the most players from HBCUs to the NFL, and you think about the great players that have come out of that program, been able to go on and have great careers in the National Football League, DRC, Too Tall Jones, et cetera. So this is a big movement now. This is a groundswell movement in the HBCU football community to really, really get these programs to national prominence. And how do you do that? You hire a big name like Deion Sanders or Eddie George, NFL legends.
Yeah. And we'll do this. We'll take, and we can squeeze in a call maybe, or we'll blow it up big more tomorrow, but let's do this. Let's